Welcome back. Top of the hour. Famous Sports today here on Sports Grid. Today it is Craig Nish and George Kurtz filling in for Davis Maddock today. George, how was your weekend, man? How did your fantasy football teams do? What's going on?
Not well. My weekend was fine. My fantasy football teams did not do well. Offhand, I think I won three, maybe four leagues. Lamar Jackson gave me a heart attack last night. One of the leagues I was winning in, I was going up against him. And I'm glad he faltered in the second half. Keep fumbling the ball, Lamar. I needed that. I appreciated that. But overall, not well. I didn't check my best ball leagues. I have way too many of those. I don't even look at those. There's nothing you can do about it. It's best ball. You'll draft it and leave it. So eventually I'll check. But I'm not someone, Craig. I don't know how you go about it. I don't check my teams all the time as far as when the games are being played. There's nothing I can do once the games are on. I am not going to flip out on Sundays going, oh, my God, I'm losing to Craig Mish by three. I need this guy. I want to enjoy the games. I want to enjoy the game, so I don't really look at my teams. I might look at halftime of the Sunday night game to see how I'm doing, but best ball, I'll check maybe once a month.
Yeah, well, George, you're also betting on the games, let's keep in mind, so you are driving yourself crazy with that too. I'm going to guess each game on Sunday for sure, no doubt. Let's get to our headlines here on FST here at the top of the hour, 1 o'clock Eastern on the 14th of September. Hey, good news for the Raptors. They're going back home. They're going to play in Canada next season. They've been approved to return. 16 games on the slate tonight in Major League Baseball. Texas saw enough of Hudson Card to make a quarterback change. Casey Thompson's going to start versus Rice. And boy, the Aggies squeaked their way through a win on Saturday without their quarterback, Hayes King. He's going to be out 5 to 7 weeks. And the Aggies are ranked 7th in the country. Of course, they'll play Alabama at some point, and then that will determine how high they're ranked at the end of the season. By the way, Florida getting 14 points this week against Alabama. We'll preview that game tomorrow. Okay, so Ryan Braun retired, George, and certainly there's a lot of mixed opinions, I'm sure, on Braun, who played at the University of Miami. I saw him grow up, a very high draft pick, played for the Milwaukee Brewers, won an MVP, and then, you know, certainly had his fair share of controversy as well. And I suppose that would be kind of the story that you would tell. Braun was a great Major League Baseball player. Probably not a Hall of Famer, but a great Major League Baseball player that will always be tied to, you know, that crazy story that he had when, if you remember, he tested positive for stuff, said he didn't do it, blamed it on the guy who was delivering the sample, if I'm not mistaken.
FedEx guy.
Yeah. And then ended up, listen, he still was very good even after that point. And we're seeing a lot of players be able to, you know, get over that sort of period. And you're seeing Christian Yelich today congratulate Braun on a great career. I would congratulate him too. I like Ryan Braun. I think he had a fantastic career, but that MVP season is the one that really sticks out to me the most.
Probably a top three player that I hate in all of sports because of what he did. Not that he took steroids, by the way. They all took steroids. All right. About three quarters of them would be my guess. And listen, I've never done an illegal drug in my life, but if you're going to tell me to be on a Major League Baseball roster, I need to stick a needle in my butt, odds are I'm doing it. Odds are I'm doing it, so I'm not going to vilify them for that. It's not taking a start. That's how he went about it. Deny, deny, deny. I think the guy got fired from FedEx because, he screwed up then. And then say when he finally had evidence against him, oh, yeah, I did it. Hate you. I cannot stand players like this. Really cannot stand. I'd have much more respect for him if he would just sort of said, yeah, I did it. I felt I needed the edge here. So many other people were doing it. Whatever you want to say, I would have much more respect for you to say that. But to go the other way, and then finally when you get caught, oh, yeah, I did it. And it doesn't help the FedEx guy at all, right? So I cannot stand Ryan Braun. Top three player I hate.
Really? Yeah, that's curious. And by the way, we learned something today. George Kurtz is the only one working here on Sports Grid that's never tried an illegal drug. So congratulations to you on that one. We're going to get you that award at the end of the show.
It'll be right up there for you.
So Matt Kemp was the runner-up that season, George. You remember that? Matt Kemp had a phenomenal season that year for MVP. Remember when people were saying that Matt Kemp should have been the MVP?
Yeah, you get that a lot, right? We want to go back now and change it. Maybe Kemp should have won the award in the first place. Maybe. You can always argue about that. I don't get caught up in awards, by the way. I think it's a lot of it's political. Who the writers like, who they don't like, who's nicer to them, gives them better stories. So I never really worry about this. They both had great seasons that year. I don't remember which way I would have went offhand. Maybe I would have voted for Braun. This is before I hated him. So we'll see here. But I said I don't get all caught up in that. They were great seasons either way, no matter what.
Yeah, and last thing on baseball here, Yankees still driving you crazy?
How can they not? I mean, how can they not hit I got leaving behind the scenes here talking to me about the Subway Series where the Yankees are lost 2 out of 3. I just don't understand it. So much talent this team cannot hit. I know Judge hit the, outside of Judge, really. He's the only guy that's been consistent all year long. He hit the big 3-run bomb yesterday. But they're, you know, Craig, it's not the losing. Okay. I'm old enough to remember when the Yankees lost in the late 80s, early 90s, but they were still a baseball team that was fun to watch. This team's not fun to watch, and they still win more than they lose, not in September, but just frustrating team. So, yes, they're playing Baltimore now. They are 9-7 against Baltimore. It'll be the reason if they don't make the playoffs, it'll be the Orioles' fault because they can't beat this team. If they don't, they really should sweep this team. If they don't beat this team 2 out of 3, I'm going to flip out. Gerrit Cole goes tonight. Hope he's healthy. Let's see. But yeah, they'll make me angry by the end of the week. Make me angry now.
For sure. George will be in for me on Thursday. It is Yom Kippur. I'll be having the day off. Good thing probably for me because George by that time may have lost his mind. Okay, coming up next, for those of you who have not heard about the new app called Underdog, we're going to let you in on a couple of really cool secrets, give you a promo code, and help you make some money coming up this weekend with some DFS action, maybe some potential stacks in fantasy as well. Then George and I will go through our boom and bust players in week one of the fantasy football season, Fantasy Reality, Sports Grid 60. Our second hour is underway here on Sports Grid, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Before you know it, it will be week two of the NFL season, a little bit over 48 hours from now. If you're looking for picks, predictions, and analysis, and you're not watching us 24 hours a day, which is acceptable, just go over to Twitter and download the app and follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV, our great social media team, constantly pumping out information, clips, videos, and stats for you to basically take a look at and say, hey, here's who I want to bet this weekend, or hey, here's who I want to play in fantasy this weekend. All of the opinions of all of our hosts, whether it's the early line, the morning after, fantasy sports today, in-game live, Scotty Farrell, Gabe Morency, Cam Stewart, all of our hosts here doing great things, and we are showing you that over on Twitter. So follow us there, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. All right, George, now it's time for us to tell everyone a little bit about the Underdog app, and certainly this is an app that you can make a lot of money on if you use it the right way, and of course, when you sign up by using the promo code that we're going to show you, which is GRID, G-R-I-D, you get a deposit bonus and can help you get a free bet this weekend. And that really is just incredible. So why not just do it? It is free. Download the Underdog app. And George, let's take a look at some potential stacks this weekend that we could use over on the app and help you make some money. We'll start off, George, with Tampa Bay. Now, look, the Buccaneers look fantastic, obviously, opening night of the NFL. They've had 10 days to prepare for the Falcons. George, I don't know what in the world went on with the Falcons. I did not expect them to have a great defense, but I did expect them to score some points, and they did not. But when you take a look at this stack here of the Bucs against the Falcons, who of these among these players would you potentially like? Brady, Godwin, Antonio Brown? Mike Evans was quiet week one. People were freaking out. And then, you know, obviously, I think Gronk had his best game of the season in week one. They knew the lights were on. They knew it was opening night. I think Gronk goes back to being, you know, used sparingly until they really need him at the end of the season. So let's dive into this here a little bit.
Yeah, first of all, I think you were absolutely right about Gronk week one. I think they want to get the fans into it. So why do you do that? Gronk, spike, ball, touchdown, yeah, that sort of thing. I thought he was a lock for a touchdown. Same thing with Antonio Brown. I think Brady wanted to get those guys involved. You want to stack this game? I'm right there with you. I'm feeling Mike Evans this week because he was quiet last week, right? I don't want to say blanketed by Trayvon Diggs, but Trayvon Diggs did follow him around the field. So maybe Trayvon's becoming that kind of cornerback. As a Cowboy fan, I hope so. But that's not going to happen this week. I think Brady's going to want to get him involved. So in any kind of stack, in most leagues, I want to start Mike Evans. It's a very good matchup. You mentioned they've had 10 days to prepare here. And I don't think Brady's going to let Mike Evans go 2 weeks without a good day. You know, I think this is a day where he catches six balls, maybe for 112 yards, and at least one score, and I can see two scores here. But that being said, I think they're all going to eat. Although I do agree with you, Gronk probably already had his best game of the season with 29 fantasy points against the Cowboys. Just sticks in my head for some reason.
Yeah, and what was going on with Atlanta? I have no idea on this one. And look, I think Philadelphia is, you know, a little bit underrated for who they are, but no excuse for the Falcons not to score two touchdowns in every game in the NFL season with Matt Ryan and the weapons that he has around. And look, Julio Jones, I was not huge on him going into the season. I was not huge on him last year. He was no factor at all for the Titans this week. I can't imagine that that's the main reason why the Falcons didn't score this week, but we'll have to see going forward. Definitely another new system for Matt Ryan to get adjusted to. Okay, another potential stack over on Underdog this week, George, would be the Seattle Seahawks. I think at this point it is fair to say the Titans not attacking defense in the offseason is really going to come back to burn them. No disrespect to Arizona, but I think they scored on every possession. So Seattle had their way with another pretty good defense in Indianapolis this weekend. So Russell Wilson would be in play. Chris Carson essentially has nobody pushing him to take over at running back. Metcalf scored once. Lockett scored twice. Even Gerald Everett got involved in the offense. So like Brady, Russell Wilson, George, finds ways to get everybody the ball. You know, I don't think Seattle's defense is all that great, so I do think Tennessee will probably have a better time against Seattle than he did against Arizona. But the Titans' game plan is essentially making sure Derrick Henry gets the ball early in the game and often, and they were unable to do that because they fell so far behind. Do you think that happens again this week against Seattle?
I think it might. Once again, with what you're playing in Seattle, right? Tough place to play. I would say top three home field advantages in the NFL. So not the greatest place to go to try and fix your team here. What were we worried about with the Titans? You hinted at it, if not outright said it. It was their defense, mainly their pass rush. Last year, if you were playing quarterback, you'd order a pizza back there, get a coffee, and get a beer afterwards, and then the rush might get to you. Nothing really changed in week one. All right, they were hoping Dupree would solve a lot of those problems. Maybe he will in time, because if you do have a T.J. Watt, yeah, he could solve the secondary's problems because he's getting to the quarterback so quick. Didn't work out in week one for Dupree and the Titans. We'll see what happens here. But one thing about the Seahawks, they changed coordinators to where they were going away from a run-based attack, which is amazing. You even had that kind of based attack in 2021, especially with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Why didn't you hand him the keys so long ago to be his offense here? I think this is his offense now. I think you'll see if Seattle scored a team that's going to score, 27, 28 plus points more often than not. This is a team that's loaded with talent here. You know, we saw all the weapons there: Lockett, Metcalf, Carson, Gerald Everett is a nice addition from the Rams here. I like this team a bunch. They're going to score a lot of points this week. I don't think the Titans are going to win the game, and I think Seattle is scoring 30 plus points again.
Yeah, high-scoring game probably on deck. Speaking of which, Arizona did take care of business, scoring 5 touchdowns against Tennessee last week. What will be the case this week as a potential stack over on Underdog, George? Has to be Arizona. They take on Minnesota this week, and the Vikings did not look good against Cincinnati. So I wonder what that could mean for Kyler Murray, who had a fantastic game last week. Not much from Chase Edmonds. He was okay, fine. And, Connor pushed him a little bit, saw some Connor in that game as well. But there's no question that the receivers played well. DeAndre Hopkins scored twice. Kirk scored twice. We haven't seen much of Rondell Moore just yet, but my guess is he gets involved in the game plan as well. And after last week, George, Larry Fitzgerald probably on the couch going, my gosh, I got to get back in my uniform here and get back on this field. My team looked pretty good. Vikings are known for their defense, though. They did crumble a little bit late in that game. They gave up some long touchdown passes, one to Higgins and one to Jamar Chase. Do you think the Cardinals or a good stack, or do you think they just caught the Titans, who apparently have the worst defense in the NFL?
I think a little bit of both, by the way. I think on the stacks we're talking about, I'm probably not going with this one. Listen, I love Murray. Love Hopkins. He's another cheat code guy. He does whatever he wants out there. But it gets dicey after that. You know, Chase, and I like Chase Edmonds, but I don't think he's any kind of great running back. And then with the secondary wide receivers, it sort of comes down to, well, which one? Kirk, more. Is this going to be an AJ Green week? You know, he was on the back of a milk carton last week as well here. And so I don't really love any one of them. I know Kirk had the big game last week, and maybe he does again. But you're sort of picking here. If you're not going to – I don't get to go with all three of them, so which is going to be the guy? So that's what I worry about here with the other teams we've talked about. Seattle, I have no problem going Metcalf and Lockett. Good. Boom. Go. You know, that sort of thing. And also the tight end, if you're going tight end, I like the tight ends on the other team much more than I like here with Arizona. So this would not be one of my favorite stacks for the week.
Yeah, and it's always an interesting dynamic over at Underdog because you can essentially bet and parlay a lot of the different over-unders as far as the props are concerned. So make sure you download the app and use our promo code GRID, and that will get you started. And you're off and running this weekend. You can play on FanDuel, certainly, or DraftKings, or anywhere else. But Underdog is giving you some nice opportunities. And by the way, to place a free one by using the promo code GRID, that is for sure. Did you play George DFS this weekend? Did you get involved in any action this weekend?
I don't play as much anyway. I just love DFS, but with, you know, gambling and fantasy, I don't play anywhere near as much as I used to. I had a lineup or two, you know, but there were a time we were playing 10, 12 lineups. We were going bananas in these things. Now I don't have enough time Sunday morning to set all this stuff.
Yeah, same with me. Played in a big tournament this weekend, but no such luck. We'll see what happens this week. Coming up next, surprises from the first week of the season. Disappointments from the first week of the fantasy season. We're going to take care of that next. I have my list of players that I did not see having great games. George has his. And then, of course, you can't do the surprises without the disappointments. So we'll have that for you as well. Also, don't forget, coming up, we got a game on Thursday night here in the NFL. And no doubt we will preview that for you. I will be in tomorrow with Davis Maddock due to the Jewish holiday. I'll be off on Thursday, so George will be right back here on Thursday. So a little switching around of the schedule, but we got you covered here on FFT. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Naturally, the fantasy football season begins, and for people like myself and George Kurtz and Davis Maddock, Brett Levy, our entire crew, we are surprised by things that happen. It's only natural, George, in fantasy sports. You're an avid fantasy baseball player, and so am I. You know, you would think that with all of the knowledge and expertise of me covering this game for 25 years, that I would be able to hit on every player in baseball. And with you and I doing this now, I think that you and I have been together in one way or another doing this for 20 years too, almost 10 years, 15 years. You'd think that we would get everything right, but that's never going to be the case. And so some things will catch us by surprise. So I figured this is a good exercise for us today.
You're right. Listen, and that's a good thing. If we got everything right, it wouldn't be any fun, right? There are always things that catch us off guard, right? You go, what? How? You know, I know I do this almost every Sunday. How is that possible? Everything you broke down was right, and it doesn't work out for you. It drives me insane, but it's also what makes it fun. It's something that we get it more right than wrong here, mind you. But yeah, there every week, every game, there's something that catches me off guard.
Yeah, for sure. The outcomes I actually was okay on, had a good fantasy week, went 2-0, but there's no question that some things just shocked me. So let's start off with my pleasant surprises here, and George, I want your thoughts on this too. Jameis Winston, who, if you've watched this show, I am still bearish on. I am not going to stop until I see the Winston that I used to see. But for 1 week, I applaud him and give him a high five, 5 touchdowns. Elijah Mitchell from the 49ers, I don't think anybody saw this in the country. 104 yards and a touchdown for him with Trey Sermon not playing in the game. I didn't hear anybody on Brandon Cooks this fantasy football season, and this dude had 132 yards and a touchdown. My guess is this probably will not continue or he'll get traded, but at the very least, he is playable. Tyrod Taylor played well, so Cooks is a huge surprise for me. And then Mike Williams, I got to say, he's always had the promise, but that was the best I've seen him look in a while. 82 receiving yards and a touchdown. Keenan Allen still very heavily involved in the offense, but the one thing the Chargers don't have, I don't think they have a tight end. So it's almost like Mike Williams gets those tight end looks too. So Winston, Mitchell, Cooks, and Williams for me, George. So how about those for you? And then I want you to give us your surprises.
All right. First off, I have Jared Cook on line one for you. Chargers tight end wants to have a little chat. wants to know why he's not considered a tight end for you. Listen, Jared Cook, no thanks. I've had enough of him. He's driven me crazy for years. Jameis Winston. I mean, no doubt he's on this list, right? No doubt he's on. I mean, five touchdown passes, only threw 148 yards. So he made the most of them. God bless him. I was not worried about Winston. I thought he should have been the starter all along here. My worry was more with the weapons. Without Mike Thomas, it's just Kamara. So that's not going to happen every week, all right? He's not going to throw five touchdowns every week, but they played well week one. They caught I don't know what was up with Green Bay, but they caught a Green Bay team that was sleeping, didn't want to go to Jacksonville, whatever it might be. Winston took advantage, but it seems like every pass he completed was a touchdown. I'd be cautious here, but in a super flex league, he's a start for you. But once again, their weapons not so good. Johnson's not catching two touchdowns, maybe not for the rest of the year. Wouldn't shock me here. Mike Thomas is not back till week seven. We'll see here. Elijah Mitchell, this is one of those ones where we bang our head against we're banging our head against the table, right, or the wall. Because Trey Sermon, who we all thought was going to be the guy behind Mostert, all of a sudden it's Elijah Mitchell. I want to see anybody. You know what? I'll give this to Adam Schefter. I'm watching NFL Game Day, whatever they call it, on ESPN. And he picked Mitchell as his breakout player of the day, whatever they call that segment. So he was right on it. I guess he had some inside information about Sermon there. Because nobody, we all wanted Sermon to be the guy. No. And now it's Mitchell. You know, and Mitchell's going to break the bank this week in Fab, by the way. So that is what it is there. So good for them. Good. Like I said, they all deserve to be on this. Mike Williams, probably not this guy I'm crazy about. I think he's going to come back down to earth. But someone's got to catch passes there other than Keenan Allen. And what was really crazy, they didn't use Eckler out of the backfield. Anybody see that coming? Because I didn't.
No. Yeah. Okay, so George, I'll run through your surprises and give your voice a break, and then you'll tell me why. Derek Carr of the Raiders last night shocked everybody. I probably would have included him had I not put this together before that game. 435 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. Gronk, eight catches, 90 yards, two touchdowns. And the least surprising outcome for me, George, was Deebo Samuel. You may say, what? Are you crazy? I mean, Brett knows. I mean, this was my guy going into the season. I have him in every league. George, I watched Deebo play at South Carolina. Thought he would be a star. I still think he's going. I mean, now it's obvious. I think he's going to be a star. It's health with him. This guy has DK Metcalf of last year, to me, written all over him, and I think he'll have a monster year. But I certainly can understand that. I think maybe the bigger surprise is that Ayuk didn't play at all. Like that to me was the other side of that story.
Well, now you know why I put him on the list. Just because of what you said, I want to be able to talk about that. That's why I put Deebo on the list. He had a great game, mind you, but I probably would have gone someplace else. But once again, Shanahan's throwing his curveballs, right? First, no Sermon, then Ayuk. We didn't know about him either. Now, the Ayuk thing seems to be more because of an injury in the training camp. They're bringing him along slowly. And I'm sure they thought, well, hey, we're playing with the Detroit Lions. Who cares who we throw out there? Why would we'll beat the team here. For me personally, I think Deebo is a better wide receiver than Ayuk. But we forgot about him because he was hurt a good part of last year. You know, and maybe Ayuk was the brand new toy they drafted and that sort of thing. So I think Deebo, we can't forget about him. This guy's going to put up decent numbers. He's not going to, he's not about Mike Evans numbers or Devontae Adams numbers, someone like that. But it's a good wide receiver here. That's why I put him on here. Now, in all honesty, when Brett first asked me to do this, which I think was right, maybe in the first quarter of the Raider game, I told Brett, now I'm going to wait till after the game just in case. I sent the list at halftime because the game was terrible. And Carr was not on it. It was Jalen Hurts I originally had on this list. All right, so I texted Brett at the end of the game. Okay, I got to put Carr over Hurts here because of how the game ended, how he played. I mean, I thought Carr, not only were his numbers good, but to win it the way he did. Like I mentioned, they had first and goal at the 1 yard line. and then they throw the interception into the penalty. An interception that really wasn't Carr's fault. That ball went through the hands of the wide receiver. Should have been caught. I know he threw a fastball. Maybe should have taken something off it. But still, went through the guy's hands. You see it right to the hands. Bonk on the cornerback, and it gets picked off. You think, oh, that's it. It's the Raiders. They're going to lose the game. No, Lamar Jackson fumbles. They get the ball back, and he finds a wide-open Zay Jones. Great. The Carr played really, really well here. And what wasn't the easiest of spots here, so I had to put him there. And you already said it earlier. Gronk had his best game of the season. It's not that he's not great. We know he's great, but we were like, how much is he going to play? You know, is he going to play the whole game? We got O.J. Howard there. He's going to play some. Cameron Braid, he's going to play some. Uh-uh. Gronk played the entire game. I mean, he was the Gronk of old here. That play they made crushed me on, what was it, about the 8, 12-yard line where Gronk goes to block first and releases and catches the touchdown on third down, I believe it was. Backbreaker in that game. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Then he caught the big pass on the final drive, too. Yeah, Gronk's not going to have another game like that this season.
I like that. You know, you came up with the J-Lo and Ben Affleck, the Benifer. I think you gave the Bronk out, Brady and Gronk. Like, I think they're, you know, kind of married. I like that idea. I think I may go with that from now on. And that's new. I've never heard that before. By accident, George, you came up with a great one. How about that?
It was accident. Okay. Yes, it was not on purpose.
It was accident, but it was good. It was good. Okay, my biggest bust from week one, Saquon Barkley. I mean, what? I mean, how high at the top can you put the guy? You know, 26 rushing yards from your first round pick in fantasy? Yikes. Aaron Rodgers, same. 133 yards and 2 touchdowns. George has him on his list, too. Mike Evans, just 24 yards. And I included Mike Davis here, George, because this was a close game back and forth for a while until Philly took a late lead, and he just didn't look that great to me. So I'm a little worried there about the Falcons and a little worried there about Mike Davis. So those are mine. Who do you have? You could comment on mine, and who do you have for yours?
Yeah, Barkley could have been on my list very easily, by the way. But there were a lot of running backs who were poor, so I left Barkley off. Plus, I think we sort of expected it with Barkley because coming back from the ACL and all the other problems there. Evans, as a Cowboy fan, I'm really hoping it was because Diggs blanketed him and not because Brady said, well, you know what, Godwin and Brown get the easier matchups anyway, so I'm going that way. Really hope that was the case there. Aaron Rodgers, you mentioned he's on my list as well. That's one of the worst games I've ever seen him play. I mean, he looked like disinterested in throwing up balls that were like, what are you seeing there that rookies don't throw up? So that was concerning there, but not the greatest game for any Green Bay Packer player.
All right, George's busts, Zeke Elliott of the Cowboys, 33 rushing yards. Aaron Jones, you know, I forgot about him, to be transparent on that, just 13 rushing yards for him. And then, George, we want to just double down on Aaron Rodgers. Why not? So Zeke Elliott, Aaron Jones. I guess we could end this discussion with this. Who of those two are you more confident on moving forward?
Give me Zeke for this reason. It was game plan that he wasn't going to do what he did. All right, Dallas had a very pass-heavy game plan. As they keep saying, we weren't going to run Zeke into a brick wall and not get anywhere. Vita Vey and company there. Nadal and Dominican Sue wasn't worth it. They did find out that there were 18 run plays called, and Dak audibled out of 12 of them. You know, if that's true, that seems like an awfully high number. But if that's true, let you know, Zeke never had a chance in this game. His blocking was good, so if you look at it that way, give me Zeke. But that being said, that New Orleans Saints defense is top three in the league. Aaron Jones really may not have had a chance either, and that Green Bay offensive line is in worse shape than the Cowboys right now with their injuries. They'll get healthier. But there's some concern there as well for both Rodgers and Jones because of the offensive line.
Yeah, probably so. And look, it's really hard when you see a game like that between Green Bay and New Orleans to get a read on anything, like which team is really bad, which team is good. Maybe they're not as bad. Maybe they're not as good. To me, that one was the one that I have to circle and say, maybe I want to throw this one away in the trash just as a one poor game for Rodgers and a one great game for Winston. I don't know the answer to that, but it will play out over the course of the season. Speaking of which, will Aaron Rodgers have a better game coming up this week? We'll touch on that. Would we do fantasy or reality? That is next here on Sports Grid on Fantasy Sports Today. So make sure you stay with us on the grid as George and I are back in just 2 minutes. Stick with us.
Your heart.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We've got Fantasy Reality coming up. George, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is on sort of a world weird tour. It was supposed to be in Atlanta this year, supposed to be in LA last year, going to be in LA next year, was in Colorado this year. Okay, I think I got all that right. And according to ESPN, it's going to be in Seattle in 2023. Now, George, I would ask you, if you are going to make the 10-hour trip to go to the All-Star Game in Seattle, but knowing that 10 hours and 10 minutes are more or less the same thing for you, like if the All-Star Game was 10 minutes away, I probably would still ask that question. But, you know, I'm guessing you'll just watch that on TV.
I think there's a good chance of that, yes. I'll watch it on TV. Usually for the All-Star Game, I hope I'm reffing that night, so this way I can record the game. No one will talk about it after I can watch it later. Rather than watch it live, because that game takes forever with all the changes here.
Yeah, it does. But I think that there's a chance I may go next year to Los Angeles. I promised my son that we would go to this year to the All-Star Game in Atlanta because it's in proximity to Florida. It's pretty close. You just take a two-hour flight. I think I'm going to bite the bullet next year and go to L.A. and take him. I took him to the All-Star Game in Miami several years ago, but he was like 5 years old and had no idea what was going on. Right. Now he really is aware, and he wants to go. Awareness is not something that we normally have. We tend to get a little wacky on Fantasy or Reality, and that's where we're at. So let's turn it over to Brett Levy.
Yeah, definitely can get a little wacky sometimes on Fantasy or Reality. But, George, we're just sticking with fantasy football to start off here because week one is in the books. Some people are excited. Some people are upset. So we got to ask, George, you would like to redraft at least one fantasy football, it says draft, I guess, team. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I went 3-8, so yeah, I'm betting that I would like to redraft at least one league here. I think this brings back to I'm not going to panic. It's one freaking week, all right. So, but yeah, there. You look at it now, like, oh, I really wish I would have taken that guy. Oh man, I underrated that guy, sort of thing. Or maybe I should have taken Kelsey in the first round. That's what really has gone through my head when you keep saying this. I didn't take Kelsey. And I only have him in one league, and that's a Superflex league where he went to in the second round that I grabbed him in. So that's always my bugaboo there. Do I take that tight end in the first round? I generally hate to do that because I want the running backs, but I drafted Zeke in two leagues, Aaron Jones in two leagues. I think if I had a redo, I probably still would draft them each in one each, but I wish I didn't have them both in two. Those are the two leagues that I would like a redrafted. Mulligan.
Yeah, this is fantasy for me. I would like to redraft my Dynasty League every year for the last 5 years because I never am good and I'm just throwing money away. But my redraft leagues, I mean, I'm 1-0 in both leagues. I got Debo in both leagues. I got Waller in one. I got Dak in another. I got Lamb in both. I got T. Higgins in both. George, I don't want to redraft anything. I just want to play this season out. I mean, I even have the running back on the Ravens, not even playing in one of these leagues, too. So no real down spots, 150 in one league, 178 in the other. I'm feeling pretty good about the 2021 fantasy season, of course, until next week. And then I lose three guys, and then we have a different conversation. But for now, this is fantasy. I want to keep my guys, Brett.
All right. I'm with you, Craig. I had a good week, too. I went 2-0. I think producing this show may help me out a little bit in my home leagues. But Aaron Rodgers needed a lot more help on Sunday. Probably the worst game we might have ever seen from Aaron Rodgers, Craig. So we got to ask, and obviously we're rooting for a bounce back, but Aaron Rodgers will throw for more than 300 yards this weekend. Craig, is this a fantasy or reality?
I suppose the good news for Rodgers is that he gets to put this behind him, gets to play on Monday night, gets to play against the Lions. So I don't know how much time I really need to spend on this, except to say, I suppose there is a narrative and a game plan that Aaron Jones gets 25 carries and rushes for 178 yards and Rodgers doesn't throw for 300. But the game script last week for San Francisco was rushing for 100 and throwing for 300. I'm not a huge fan of what's going on in Detroit. Although I will say, they fought very hard, unlike past Detroit teams, to stay in and almost win that game. So as much ripping of Dan Campbell as we've done, you got to give them credit. They got onside kicks. They almost came back and at least got themselves in position to score six and then get the two. I was watching that closely, and the 49ers players were sort of stunned after the game. But that's in the past. In the future, Rodgers does throw for 300 on Monday night. He knows the stakes. He knows he's on TV. He knows he had a bad game. My guess is FanDuel's prop, I guess we'll look at it when it comes out later this week, it's probably sitting at like 299 or 298. I'll say over. I'll say reality.
Yeah, your man Debo may want to, you know, hold on to the football in that final drive there and not get it stripped out there. My best friend is a Detroit Lion fan. He always grew up in New York. We all lived – I don't know how he's a Detroit Lion fan. All right? I can't explain this to you, but he is. And he called me yesterday. And he's like, you know, he's all depressed with how they lost and they came back. I think he would have rather have lost by 30 points. I'm that way as well. Then come back and lose. And he's like, oh, we lost. And now we get a pissed off Aaron Rodgers this week. And he's right. So that's exactly what it is. It's going to be an angry Aaron Rodgers. This is definitely a reality. Forget 300. I think he's going with 350, 375. You know, what's he going to relax, relax. I think that's what he's going to do. He's going to light everybody up. And we're all going to forget about week one real quick. I know it's Detroit, not a great team, but I think that's what Green Bay is looking for here. Get rid of that narrative that was 38-3 where we played everybody. It wasn't just Rodgers. That whole team played awful versus New Orleans. This is a reality. They get back on track here. They will destroy Detroit at Lambeau Field Monday night.
All right. Our last question of the day, and George, we'll start with you for this one. TMZ was sold over the weekend to Fox Entertainment. TMZ, obviously known for breaking all sorts of celebrity news, but we're more interested on if you're a fan or not. So, George, you are a fan of TMZ. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I guess it's a fantasy. I've never I think they have a television show, don't they? Or at least they used to. I'd never watched it. I might see bits and pieces of it every now and then. I do hear the news from TMZ. Like, if that makes you a fan, I'm like, oh, this person did that. Okay. You know, it's somewhat in the back of my mind. Maybe I even do a little further reading depending on who the celebrity is, but I'm not watching anything. I'm not purposely reading anything TMZ, not on purpose. Could it show up my timeline on Twitter? Absolutely. If I'm, you know, machine gunning through the channels, could I stop on a TMZ because something's interesting?
Machine gunning.
Sure. Come on. You don't do that. We all do that. Come on, back in the day.
I mean, I don't do it with the sound effect, George, but I may do it, you know? But it did kind of sound like a machine gun there. You had me a little worried that I better say the right thing on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, you're the one in Florida, by the way. You have a little – we have stricter gun laws up here. So I have cousins down in Florida. I know what you guys are packing.
Thanks for letting me know, George. I'll be sure to put on my bulletproof vest as I leave the house to pick up my kids today. Appreciate that, George. Thank you.
I'm here to help.
So I guess I got to answer this. Well, you said fantasy. You're not a fan? I didn't get the clear answer here.
I guess I'm not a fan because I'm not. Remember back in the day when we had that box? Did you guys have that cable box where you guys say, it was just great.
Of course. I had that. The left and the right, switching it back and forth, yes. Right? Remember that one?
If you hit 3 and 7, you might get the Playboy Channel sort of.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's true.
I think it was 3 and 7 at the same time. Maybe.
We're learning a lot about George on today's show, that's for sure.
You knew about it too. Everybody knew.
I have no idea what you're speaking of.
No idea. Little Halo back on top of his I don't watch it on purpose.
You're the same one that said you've never done an illegal drug because you're the only one here. So the deal with me is that listen, everybody has a gig, you know. Everybody has a hustle, and I've always said that I'm not going to knock somebody else's hustle. Now, does TMZ sometimes report things that are a little salacious, maybe too quick on the trigger with things? Of course. But in the end, their website does very well. They get a lot of clicks. Their hustle is a making money hustle. So I am going to say I am a fan of TMZ. In fact, I've known people who have, you know, had their cameras around South Florida for TMZ to try and get these people to talk on camera for 10 seconds so they can post them as clips. And they tend to pay pretty well for those. Very clickable website. And so, George, I'm going to say reality. I understand where you're coming from here with this. But, you know, again, who am I to say that if you're working for a website or you're working for a show that you shouldn't get paid to do it? Not everybody is proud of everything that they do. And I guess I'm just going to say reality here.
So did you watch the TV show? I think it was on like 7:30 Channel 5 or something like that. Are you watching that?
Well, I have different channels here, George. I don't live in New York, but yes, I understand.
Fox. John Fox. Sorry.
Yeah.
I always forget
Channel
that.
5. Your channels, right? That's speaking. Yeah, we have more Spanish channels here than English here in South Florida. But yes, whatever channel that would be the equivalent of Fox, so I guess it would be, yes, here in South Florida. The 30-minute show, I kind of feel like during the summertime I remember watching that, George. Like, it would come on at weird times, maybe before like a game show, like a Jeopardy or a Wheel of Fortune. And, you know, it was Harvey Levin was the host of that, I want to say. Am I right about that?
No,
I don't remember.
No idea.
Yeah, the former prosecutor or whatever, or defender, whatever. He would host it. They would come in. They would talk about who they caught up with. Here's J-Lo with another guy. Or here, that. You know, I'm fine with it. This is the way people get paid. I know the celebrities don't love the paparazzi. I understand that. And, George, we know outside your house, you know, for your picks on Sports Grid, there's cameras outside all the time, microphones. They want to know who you're taking this week. So I can understand that your hesitation there on TMZ.
Yeah, it drives my wife crazy. You know, she's always afraid of hitting someone when she leaves for work. I just, like I said, I have no problem with the job. I just, it's not something I'm going to watch. That's not something I'm going to click on. I'm never that curious. Yes, if I'm on at the supermarket, sure, I might pick up a magazine, peruse through it every now and then to find out why there's a potato growing out of this celebrity's head. But other than that, never something I truly cared about. What's going on and what celebrities, who's wearing panties, who's not, why is this guy running around naked? No, I never really cared.
Mm. Well, hopefully Weird Al doesn't make an appearance on there, because at that point you'll have to.
He's already weird though, right? So it's fine.
Click
the name.
That's true. You click on TMZ for sure. Okay, we got plenty more coming here on Fantasy Sports Today, which would include the Sports Grid 60. As a reminder, in case you are just joining us, maybe for the first time, watching our stream, I'm, you know, finding all new people watching us for the first time, texting me they're enjoying the show. Some people texting me they hate the show. Here's good news: you can get more of the show each and every Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern. Myself and Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker host Fantasy Sports Today, our Sunday morning edition, where we help you set your DFS lineups and your season-long fantasy football lineups. So make sure you check us out Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern. And also, if you miss any of our show, we have it all posted on demand for you over on YouTube, along with our new 24-hour YouTube channel here on Sports Grid. So great things happening for us and great things happening for you if you enjoy our programming here. We'll be right back with the Sports Grid 60 as we wrap it up here on this Tuesday. Stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thank you. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. The very legal George Kurtz is ready to close us out with some commentary at the end of the show. We call it the Sports Grid 60.
All right, we're gonna take away from Aaron Rodgers here and relax with your fantasy teams. I mentioned I think I went 3-8 this week or something like that. Might have been 4-7, might have been 2-9 for all I know. Relax. I'm not saying you're not gonna go to your waiver wire and make some changes here, but you're not gonna do anything drastic. Yes, Derek Carr was on my list of players who played great. I am not dropping Aaron Rodgers for Derek Carr. You know, I'm not gonna do anything like that. You're 0-1. You weren't going to go 13-0, 14-0 anyway. It's a loss. You got it out of the way earlier. I'm that guy. I don't want to go into the playoffs ever being 13 undefeated because I've done that a couple of times and I've lost the first round every damn time. So I got rid of my loss early here. Relax. It's a long season. Make the moves you have to make. Go for Elijah Mitchell, fine. But don't drop anybody that you truly believed in 7 days ago.
Well said from George for sure. I had some regret last night watching the Ravens-Raiders game. I think I've said several times here on the show, that was a game I wanted to go to. I really wanted to be there for the first time that fans were allowed in Las Vegas to go see a Raiders game. And I'm going to put that on my bucket list. It's a very short bucket list in terms of sports. I've been very fortunate to cover a lot over the last 20 or 30 years, but that's one place that I want to go to. And by the way, similarly to the Dallas Cowboys, isn't football better when the Raiders are relevant? I think so. You know, the Raiders don't have to win 10 games, but when they're competitive and good, it just makes things more fun. They're like the team that people either love or love to hate, kind of like the Cowboys. So hopefully the Raiders are in for a better second half of the season that they've had the last couple of years. It's been disastrous. Thank you over to LTN. I heard James popping in and out, so thanks to him as well. Thanks to Danny and Ryan, of course, on our graphics, and for our producer, Brett Levy, and my co-host, George Kurtz. I'm Craig Mish. Davis will be in the house with me back tomorrow on Wednesday. You'll catch George again here on Thursday. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow here on Fantasy Sports Today. Great.